Grace and mercy and peace to you from God, our Father, and Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the freedom of the Christian, the freedom that God gives you in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you today, could you describe that to someone, if asked? Do you know what that is? Do you enjoy it today? Do you taste the free air that God has given you in Jesus Christ? Well, let's talk about the freedom of the Christian today. See what God tells us about that in His holy word, the Bible. And also, especially, how are we as Christians different from the rest of the world, everybody else, with respect to freedom? What can we say about that? Well, first of all, let me ask this question, and God would direct us to this. Is God a God of freedom, or is He a prison warden? What do you think? Is God a God of freedom? You know, this is important because the world out there, for the most part, well, it does think of God as a prison warden. If you come to God, you're going to lose all your freedom that you have. That's why a lot of people don't come to Christ. But is God a God of freedom, or is He a God of a prison warden? Let's take a look and see what God tells us about that in the Bible. And let's start at the very beginning. Here in Genesis chapter 2, it says, "The Lord God took the man." That's Adam, "and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die.'" So what would you say? God a God of freedom or a prison warden? Freedom. A lot of people read that and they just look at the one restriction about this one tree. But He said, "You may freely eat everything." In other words, Adam, the whole world is yours. Total 100% freedom. There's only one thing, one restriction, is this tree over here, because that will harm you, Adam. That will kill you, so don't eat of that one. So He's a God of freedom, and He gave that freedom to Adam and Eve. Of course, you know what happened, right? You know the story. They ate of the fruit. They abused their freedom. They fell into bondage, bondage to death, bondage to sin. And they came into prison, if you will. Now, did God delight in their bondage? Now, God's people, a lot of times in the Bible, have gone into a certain bondage. Let's see what God does about it. For example, in Egypt, just a few chapters later, Exodus 3, God says to Moses at the burning bush, "I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry, Moses, because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey." In other words, He says, "I've come down to set my people free." I want to ask you, does God delight in the freedom of His people? Does He work for it with a mighty hand? Absolutely. He loves freedom. He's the God of freedom. You could jump over then to Isaiah 61. Which was a prophecy of the Christ by Isaiah. We read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And do you know that Jesus quoted that verse from the scroll of Isaiah at the start of His ministry in Luke chapter 4, saying, "This is what I'm about. To proclaim liberty to the captives and to open the prison to those who are bound." Would you say God's a God of freedom? Is the world misreading Jesus Christ? Absolutely. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, as we read a few moments ago, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you
free."
Oh, you guys are good. Verse 36, "If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And then the whole rest of the Bible, the apostles' letters, the theme of our life in Christ is freedom. Listen to this. Galatians 5, Paul says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." In 2 Corinthians 3, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." James says in his letter, "If you look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, you'll be blessed in your doing. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, live as free men, yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants of God. And then John in Revelation 1, verse 5 says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So has God a prison warden? Has he got a freedom? He's a God of freedom, and he delights in your freedom. I want to ask you, do you taste that freedom he's given you in Jesus Christ today? He wants you to. It's free air. It's free a lot of things. Second of all, God says, not only am I a God of freedom, but you need to understand something, my children, that the freedom I give you is not one that the world is seeking for or will ever understand or grasp. My freedom is of a different sort. In other words, the world looks at you and me and says, how are Christians any freer than I am? You mean I can go to Walmart? They can go to Walmart. I can go to California. They can go to California. I can eat a turkey sandwich. They can eat a turkey sandwich. How are Christians really free, right? And in fact, to them, we actually look less free than they are, don't you think? Consider, for example, a college campus. You got Christian students and non-Christian students. The non-Christian students are free to drink to their heart's content and get blubbering drunk, right? They're free to sleep around with whomever they wish. They're free to follow their passions to the end of the road with whatever they want to do, follow their cravings. And then Christians, by contrast, look quite not free, right? Don't they? I mean, they drink, but not to get drunk. They wait around till marriage sexually. They are not pursuing their passions, but restraining themselves to pursue the Lord's will and to work for his kingdom and what pleases him. So we actually look less free, don't we? The world looks over at us, and that's why a lot of people don't come to Jesus Christ, because they say, if I come to him, I'll give up all my freedoms that I'm enjoying today. He's a prison warden. No, no. He is the God of freedom. But they say, nice freedom you Christians have. You can keep your freedom. I'll keep mine, thank you. Mine's a lot better. That's the way it looks to them. And then you could even go to another country, right, where Christians, for being a Christian, are put in jail. Nice freedom you Christians have. You're tortured, you're killed, you're thrown into prison, arrested. Nice freedom you can have. That stinks in my nostrils. Keep your freedom. I'll keep mine, says the world. But God says, understand, my freedom that I give you in Jesus Christ is of a different sort. And it's one that the world will never understand or grasp. So, what's the world missing? What are they missing? Well, think of these words of Christ. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. In other words, his peace was not of this world. His freedom is also not as the world gives either. Let's take a look at this in John chapter 8. They also didn't get it. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How'd they respond? They say, free? What are you talking about, Jesus? We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say we'll be made free? Because they're like a frat house, right? They're like, hey, we're already free. What are you talking about? Jesus then explains what he's talking about. Listen up. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever, but the son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. He explains it. What is he talking about there? He says that there is a slavery that you don't understand right now. And there's a freedom that's beyond your grasp. Anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And the slave doesn't continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. What's he saying? There's a freedom higher than you know right now, and a slavery deeper than you know. And you need me to set you free. So let's take a look then. What kinds of things are people captive to? How are they imprisoned? What's Jesus say? Let's read that again. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, He who commits sin is a slave to sin. So number one, Jesus says the world is in bondage. It's in chains to sin, right? Now, what's that look like? If you're wearing chains, according to Jesus Christ, if you're a sinner, you're a slave to sin. And if these things aren't taken off of you, they will drown you in the sea of God's wrath, surer than a millstone around your neck, sink you to the bottom of the sea. You are in trouble, Jesus says to the world. You don't understand the slavery that you're in. If you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. You need me to take these chains off of you. You know what the world says? Posh. Look, I'm in freedom, Jesus. I'm not in bondage. I'm sinning, and I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. You know what that is? That's actually the story of a fisherman, right? And a little fish. The little fish swims along through the sea, sees this little worm, doesn't see the hook, and decides to bite it. And what happens? He enjoys it for a while. A good fisherman waits for a while to pull the hook, right? You don't pull it right away. You wait. You let him nibble on it, gobble it, get it in there, taste it, get it deep in his mouth. And just at the right time, then you yank it, and it pierces his jaw, and he's led away captive. Jesus says it's the same way with sin, every sin. Think about alcoholism. You start out drinking freely in college, having a great time. Wake up, and you can still play lacrosse, right? After a little while, what happens? Down the road, you just go and ask a person who's become addicted to alcohol whether he has found himself in a prison and led away captive or not. And Jesus says this is a dread chain, a spiritual chain that will kill you unless I set you free. And so Jesus says, that's number one. Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Number two, he says this. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. What's that mean? Chains of sin. People are into it if they've sinned, right? As the whole world has. If you continue as a slave to sin, you're going to die. You're in the chains of death because the slave does not and will not continue in the house forever, right? So what happens to little fishy swimming along through the sea? He bites the hook, he's led away captive, but in a very short time, he winds up filleted and killed by the fisherman, right? That's the devil. He's the fisherman. He's baiting people with the hook of sin, and they bite it, and they're led away to death, ultimately. And just look at, like, even people take alcohol again. If you are in alcoholism, that kills you a lot of times. It kills people. And so it leads to death, but especially more than that, eternal death. Whereas Jesus says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Would you say this is a serious matter we're talking about today? Christians, non-Christians, they look the same on the outside, but chains that Jesus is talking about are serious chains. You need to be set free. He says also, if you're a committer of sin, you're in chains of death and you are a prisoner to the devil. Now the world says, what are you talking about? Prisoner? I don't even believe in the devil. Well, that's some of the mastery of him. You're in prison, you're his captive, you're his prisoner, and you don't even know it. But Jesus says a few lines later, why do you not understand what I say? It's because you can't bear to hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Now, the devil, is he a prison warden? He is. What kind of a prison warden is he? He is a terrible prison warden. He lets you have some fun at the start. Once you're hooked, he leads you away captive, and it gets worse and darker and more tortured until in the end he kills you. And if he gives you fun at the start, it's just to fatten you for the slaughter, because Jesus says he's a murderer. He aims to kill. The world laughs at this, but they shouldn't be laughing. But that's the mastery of the devil, is that he's not only a murderer, but he's also a liar. And notice how he says and makes people think he's the liberator and God is the prison warden, right? I mean, that's why people don't come to Christ, because they think they're going to lose their freedom in coming to him. Oh, look how free I am, says the world. I can sin, and you Christians are so bound. But Genesis 3 says the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? What's he doing? Eve had total freedom. Anything she pleased. He took the one thing God restricted and made God look like the prison warden, and he's the liberator. Follow me, says the devil, and I'll set you free. And she believed it. And I'll tell you, the world is buying that same lie, hook, line, and sinker to this day. That's why they're not coming to Christ, because they think that God is going to put them in prison. But actually, God says, I'm the liberator. The devil's the one who's the prison warden. Believe me, says God. And so Jesus says, don't fall for that lie. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And sin and chains to sin and death and the devil are not fun. Now let's consider prison. Yeah, anybody here been to prison? No. You don't have to answer that, okay? I visit prisoners. I don't like going off all behind locked doors, locked doors, locked doors. I talk with prisoners every week, like on Wednesdays before they call. Good friends of mine, but the only thing they ever want to talk about in the end is freedom. It comes up every conversation to be set free. You know, I almost went to prison once in Norway. I was traveling, I was 19 years old, and I was traveling through Europe, right? And I got up to near the Arctic Circle. My train got in at midnight, and my next train wasn't until 5 a.m., so I decided to sleep on a park bench till the train arrived. Well, two policemen came up. They're actually very nice. Asked me about my travels, and they realized my next train didn't come till 5. They said, well, you know what? We can take you to prison. And you can sleep on a cot there, a nice warm cot, and then we'll bring you back here for your train by 5 o'clock. And I said, no. And they left, and I was like, whew. Because I considered a hard and cold bench in freedom to be a whole lot nicer than a warm cot behind bars. Amen? Do you know that God's creatures want to be free? Look at animals in zoos, how they seem to go crazy doing those circles around the cage. Look at Shamu, or killer whales in captivity. Their dorsal fins are all humped and slunched, slouching over, falling over. In the wild, in the free, they're straight up, because God even created his creatures to be free. And he wants his people to be free. And God delights in freedom for his whole world. That's the God that we're serving today. And so I announced to you that this freedom is in Jesus Christ. And you know that. Well, Jesus says, I've come to set you free. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. So what did Jesus do for us? He cast out devils from people to set them free. He healed people of their diseases to set them free. He preached the word of truth to set them free from the lies of the devil, and he died to set us free. He died for our sins, to remove the chains of death, to give us eternal life, to reconcile us to God, and to bring us into the freedom of the gospel of freedom in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this isn't your own doing. You can't break them off yourself. It's the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. So how do we receive God's freedom? By grace, through
faith.
When we believe in Christ, God says, all these chains wrapped around you, I break them off of you, and I throw them away from you into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. Isn't that amazing? This is what he's really done. It reminds me of World War II. Any World War II buffs out there? Yeah. Vietnam, too. That's a good one. I mean, thank you for serving. In World War II, 1942, the Bataan Death March, the Americans were overrun by the Japanese and led away to the prison camps there on, especially Cambana Tawan, one prison camp. It was terrible, miserable. They were starved, lost, tortured, forgotten, and beyond hope. But way back home, in the land of the free, in their home country, the high command conceived a plan to send a rescue mission. And they sent Lieutenant Colonel Mucci with army rangers and scouts. They penetrated 30 miles behind Japanese enemy lines. They crept right into the prison camp, and somewhere around midnight, at the appropriate stroke, blasts and explosions and gunfire. They killed the guards, set the prisoners free, and some were so emaciated and weak they had to be carried on the backs of the rangers out of the camp. But he led them back through the jungles, through the enemy territory, to the beach, and eventually to ships, and back home to the land of the free. And I'll tell you, that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has saved. You can't save yourself. He broke you out. And let's talk about what he broke you out of. For Paul says, "Let it therefore be known to you, brethren, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone that believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed under the law of Moses." So, if you're a Christian, have you believed in Christ? Repented and come to him as Lord and Savior? You are free. Taste the freedom. What are you free from? Number one, you're free from sin and its captivity. Its effects have been removed from you because you're forgiven your sins. And also, you're not under its power anymore. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law, but under grace." Isn't that amazing? Do you feel that today? You're not under law anymore. You're under grace. You're walking under the gift of God. On a straight path, to be sure, and the world says, P.U., I don't want that kind of freedom. It's the narrow way. We're free, they say. But Paul says, Romans 6, "When we were slaves of sin, you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what return did you get from the things of which you're now ashamed?" What's he saying? When you were slaves of sin, you didn't have to do righteousness. You were free from that. But what's the end result of all those things? Death. Death is the end result. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, in other words, you're following Jesus through the jungle out to the beach, the return you get is sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that beautiful? You are set free from the power of sin. You're following the greater Lieutenant Colonel Mucci, Jesus Christ. He says, "I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. You're no longer under the law. Your relationship with God now is by grace, through faith, gift. Follow me, and I will lead you through the enemy territory. Sin will no longer have any power over you. Though you have to fight against it, you taste the free air. I'm with you to deliver you." Isn't that fantastic? Amen. This is our God. And you're free not only from sin and its effects and that fear relationship with God, but it says here, you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship. We cry, "Abba, Father." That's fantastic. You're free from sin. You're free from death. Jesus says, or it says in Romans 5, Paul says, "If because of Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man, Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." So if I look out at you right now, you're all prisoners of war, okay? You've been set free from Jesus Christ. Where are we right now? We're in the jungle. We're still passing through enemy territory. But you're tasting free air. Death does not have dominion over you anymore either. You're free. And you stick with Jesus, you come to eternal life, it says. And you're free from the devil's power. Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world should be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Have you been set free from the devil's power? Yes. Oh, he is avenging. He is a prison camp master. He's coming after you. But Jesus says, "I will take care of him." Doom, 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 doom. Don't you worry about him. For God, it says in Colossians, has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. That's the devil's kingdom. And he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. He's broken you out of the prison camp. You're in the kingdom of his son Jesus now. It says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of your sins. So that's free air. If you believe that's free air, say amen.
Amen.
Free air. Breathe it today. Free from sin, death, and the devil's power. And the world's never going to get this, okay? They go to Walmart, we go to Walmart. You know, they can go to California, we go to California. We can eat a turkey sandwich, they can eat a turkey sandwich. They're like, hey, you're no freer than we are. Oh, no, friend. Big difference. Big difference. We're free from sin, from death, from the devil, and we're heading to the land of the free, the home of the brave, on that ship to heaven. And do you know what is promised to you? That the world right now is still in enemy territory, but it's going to be set free also, the whole world. Romans 8 says that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Are you excited about that?
Amen.
Prisoners of war, you're with Jesus, you're on your way through the jungle, you're heading to a place where there is a river bright as crystal, the water of life. And there is the tree of life there with its leaves for the healing of the nations. And there shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him, and night shall be no more, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and they shall worship him forever and ever. Christ is bringing you, and you have freedom, to the land of the free. Taste the free air today. Rejoice in your freedom in Christ. Fight for it. Hold it fast. And as Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. In Jesus' name, amen.